meeting anyway.
Sure.
Okay, the Lapine City Planning Commission is called to order at 5:59 on February 17, 2010. I call to order, and we'll take roll call.
Commissioner Linda Maggard.
Commissioner Roya Fleming.
Commissioner Virginia Klassen present.
Okay, so that would establish 3 out of 4, so that is a quorum. Linda, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Do we have any added agenda items?
I was wondering if we could discuss or get, I don't know if anyone has any information, Patty or anyone. I know that Renee resigned, and I'd like to discuss what the status is of applicants.
And well, we'll have to advertise again for committee member, and I think Luana is working on that. I'm not sure. I can check with her and let you know what the status is on that.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Well,
she is aware.
Well, and the other thing is that we voted for her to serve on the transportation committee, and we need to come up with a different plan. So that's why I was adding that to the agenda.
Sounds good. Okay. Okay, we'll talk about that at the end.
Briefly.
Okay, we don't have any public here, so there's no public comments, not on the agenda. Has everybody had a chance to look over the January 20th Planning Commission meetings?
I did. I only have one comment.
Okay. Is it a correction? Or?
It was just a brief one, and it was just more of a maybe for future. When it says present were, it would almost be better to just say present were, and then if there's absent, list them after you state absent because
okay.
of the fact that it
one.
Says
okay.
Renee Clark absent, but it says up here present were. Might just be a
okay.
little more clear.
Sure.
That's the only thing.
Yeah, I don't think that's a change that needs to
I
be made.
I would approve these fine
yeah.
with it, but
yeah.
just
sure.
for future reference, I would.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to accept the minutes as written.
I second it.
Roll call vote.
Virginia Klassen, aye.
Gloria Fleming, aye.
Linda Maggard, aye.
Okay. Now, the next item on the agenda is a review and discussion of any public comments at the February 10th Comprehensive Plan presentation. Now, Virginia was there. You were not, but your brother was there.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, I just jotted down a couple of notes, and actually, James and Diablo, maybe you could jump in on this afterwards. Bob Ann expressed some concerns, or she challenged some statements about the water and sewer and submitted some changes in writing. Pam Cosmos challenged references to the agricultural lands description and the growing season. Tony DeBone made some clarification on the rodeo lands. And Dan Barco expressed some concerns about it not having a large industrial parcel for sale should that item come up. Was there anything else? And also you have something else too, but were these issues resolved, or what happened with that?
Yeah, what we do, Gloria, with comments that come in is we evaluate them and make sure that they're corrected in the comprehensive plan. In total, everything's fairly minor. The information that Barbara Ann brought forward, we can make those changes. The information that was brought forward by Ms. Cosmo, obviously we're talking about commercial cropping, and will certainly put in a comment about the local history with backyard growing, because that's important. And all the other changes, minor map changes, these are typical for this kind of process. And so we didn't see anything that was something we needed to dispute. They're all minor clarifications. We've been working with Tony DeBone and Leedy to get some refinements of language. I sent an email out to Dan Blanco to let him know that, you know, we may have a note on the map so people understand that, you know, with nearly 3,000 acres of vacant land inside the current city limits, there just is no justification to expand the UGB for commercial or industrial land. Now, that does not include the rodeo, so keep that aside. But when you've got 1,200 acres of forest land just south of Roslyn Road that can be converted to industrial large acreage parcels, and I verified this with Liggy and Lee Smith, the state's not going to look kindly on any kind of request to expand the UGB at this time until stuff inside the city gets eaten up.
But did you talk to them about, you already know that. Should somebody come along with a proposal and say, hey, we'd like to build this, and but we need so much acreage? I mean, that, you clearly that was okay. I mean, that would be handled, right?
Oh, yeah, no. And if somebody came to O'Brien and needed 200 acres, we'd make sure they get satisfied pretty quick. There's a lot of land to choose from. And so we'll just clarify that on the map.
Okay. Do you have any other questions?
Is
something I missed?
No.
Okay.
Did you all get that email from Pam Cosmo?
No.
Was it just recent?
It just came in yesterday.
I talked
to her on the phone.
Okay.
I understand her position. She spoke about it at other meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where she's coming from.
In regards to... I didn't read it. So maybe
three. Well, she was saying that it was downplayed, that this is not an agricultural area. She believes that it should be an agricultural area. And I guess there were agricultural lands at one time that were designated. That was partly because of logging, right?
Well, they were the areas that were typically along the river and in the floodplain, the wetlands. And the agricultural uses that were occurring on those historically were more grazing type of uses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well.
So, in looking at her letter, I think different advertising is valid to include some reference that backyard growing of food for subsistence type or personal use is good to mention there. It's not something that you would deem as a land use.
Right, it's not
not
likely to be commercial.
Correct.
Right.
So what we talked about was that ultimately what happens is when you go through your zoning ordinance creation is you just make sure there's nothing in there that prohibits somebody's ability to conduct those backyard growing opportunities.
So it because she's saying sustainability. Is part of her concern that animals wouldn't be allowed, like chickens?
So when we get to the stage of writing the zoning ordinance, there'll be some areas that will obviously be suitable for having small numbers of livestock.
Mm-hmm.
But normally inside an urban area, you want to be very careful with that.
Right.
What a lot of communities do, they link the number of animals that you're allowed to have to the property size. So if you have a 6,000 square foot, lot in a subdivision, that you don't have, 100 chickens out in your backyard, it's gotta be linked to the size of the property. So that's typically how you address it, is you allow it and you mitigate the potential impacts by doing some type of linkage like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I got more, she was more interested in the growing of things and how a lot of people thought you couldn't grow things here and how she proved them wrong, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's good colloquial information, but what the state asks us to look at is, you know, other significant costs, commercial costs, being grown inside the city? And the answer is no. It, the private stuff is great. Everybody should do that. You know, it's wonderful, and we'll refer to that, but they're two different concepts.
Yeah, and that would be nice if that could be somehow encouraged, you know, in wording in there somewhere. So, okay. Any other questions on that one? Okay, moving on. Number 8, discussion of the February 16th training session and what our future needs will be. Well, we were all there. I tried whenever possible in my thinking to apply it toward our meetings, but definitely the meeting was for the city council.
How did that go? Can you notice that?
Well, like I said, it was definitely on planning committee, city council. And the fact that they had so many new city council members, I think it was good to go through those things and remind everybody of how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, rules and responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead person they sent over, she was good?
Yeah, she was
good, Jennifer.
Yeah. Good. Oh, that's refreshing.
Yeah, I didn't have any, I thought she did a good presentation. But it just, I was really having to work at applying it to planning commission other than, you know, just Robert's Rules type stuff.
Well, the ethics stuff you guys already have down, so that's good. But it brings us to mind of what the next session should be for the Planning Commission.
Right.
And what James and I have planned to do is, as soon as there's an application that we're made notice of from the county, we want to sit down and walk you through that so you know how to approach any application, what the rules are for responding, what the criteria to be applied would be. It would be a wonderful experience because it'd be real.
It's the next step after what I did with all of you last month. It's sort of like a lab practical. You know, you could sit through the lecture and then how do you go to the lab and make it work? And so that would be, I think, very useful. It's where the rubber hits the road, so to speak.
Well, I did think it was very interesting. You know, we did get these reports that went back to 2006. And it was broken out. I got a listing of the land use applications and the building permit applications. They are totally separate things, right? Do they tie in with each other at all?
Well, in terms of a project they do, typically you have to get your land use, you have to get your land use approval to the planning division first, and then you can obtain your building permit approval to build whatever it is that you got your planning approval for.
Now, in our packet, it only included the land use application.
Oh, I got the building permit one, too.
I only got the land use. Because I'm not saying that we didn't get it on the internet, but I...
But essentially, once it gets to the building permit stage, the planning commission would be out of it.
That was my second question.
Okay. So, except for example, for planning staff member, once a planner writes a decision, then the next stage is the applicant or the developer proceeds to the building permit stage, and the planner doesn't really see that project anymore except when the building permit is getting ready to be issued. Before it's issued, they kick it back to the planner to make sure that what they're issuing the building permit for is exactly the same as what they approved through the land use process. And then at the end of the construction, before they get their final inspections and their certificate of occupancy, the planner goes back to make sure that what they actually built was what they approved. So, and they make sure the building plans match the planning plans, and then actually they build it out according to what was approved through the planning process.
Okay, but I guess part of the reason I would like, I guess, to see
she's going
to
make copies. So
total,
you have that.
Okay, is that...
I couldn't match them up, so...
Part of the information was trying to figure out how much money was coming in and when could we afford to pay for our own department. Do you see what I'm saying? Or make a suggestion one way or the other as a planning commission to say... We think we should take steps in that direction, or we should continue to use Deschutes County to process until it reached a certain level of income.
So there's a couple steps where you want to evaluate what the right time is.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is to keep a good monitoring of the cash flow that's coming to Deschutes County so you have an idea. Obviously, an uptick in the market, uptick in growth, you know, you want to have some perspective of what that means in terms of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the city goes through a budgeting cycle, and James and I can give you kind of a rough idea of what it costs to run a planning department, but, you know, you want to have some idea of what it takes to staff one. And another good place or benchmark to evaluate whether a planning department and staff is needed is after you have a zoning ordinance in place. Because you want local people to be interpreting a local ordinance. And it's okay if the Deschutes County people do it for a while, but at the time you get your own zoning ordinance, the city really has to look hard at making sure they're interpreting it themselves.
Right.
And looking at the Excel spreadsheet that the county sent us, and they gave us, they kind of lumped them all together for the past 3 years, 07, 08, and 09, and they came up with a final tally total of $104,000.
Yeah, that's on the applications, yeah.
Right, those were the application fees that were collected for these land use applications over 3 years. You know, and if you look at the numbers, actually, you know, there were more applications in 07 than there were in 08.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 08 and 09 were less than 07, I mean, just because the economy was down. So, you know, they didn't break it down by year, but I would assume out of that $105,000, you probably got 40 that was from 07, just looking at the types of applications,
but
about 30.
I added it up.
Okay.
And that was about 35,000 in 07. 31,000 in 08 and 35,600 in
09. So right there, what you have to look at is if you look at those numbers, you have to look at will that support a planning department, meaning
right.
a planner?
Well,
what it takes to staff that and operate that.
And then also, on top of that, they mentioned that not all of those fees that were collected went to the county. Some of them went, some were surcharges, and some went back to the state. And it doesn't really tell us how they do that, so we don't really know what that actual figure is.
But in addition to that, there's the permits. Is that correct?
So yeah.
You
yeah.
have to
yeah,
look at that, and that's actually $236,000,
almost
$237,000.
And that's on the building permit.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But that,
I'm sorry.
No, the permit, does that partly go to pay the planner?
Building permit fees are collected, and it's a whole separate area of expertise. Be a building plans examiner, for example, to review building plans and then issue them. You have to have various certifications through the state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so two different areas of expertise between the planner and the building plans examiner or building inspector.
Okay.
And by law, by state law, any money that you collect for building permit activities cannot be used for other services such as funding your planning department.
Oh, okay. That's a good thing to know.
Yeah, because what happens is, and it changed about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, is the state, a lot of jurisdictions were raising their building permit fees and then raising that fund to fund other parts of their city.
And so
the state, you know, building association lobby, you know, they got the legislature to enact that.
Now that does lead me to another question. So if we have a planning department, would we still contract out to the county for the building permits? Or?
Well, there's two ways to think about that. From my experience in managing building planning and engineering when I was at the city of Bend, the most troublesome department was the building department. Lots of individual rules, lots of state requirements for electrical, plumbing, structural, HVAC, etc. And typically, you have to have people with various certifications do that work. That would be the last department I would take over. I would not take that on immediately. It's a huge headache just in management alone.
But we could do the other and then submit it to the county for that
but,
sort of
but
thing.
You, or the city could contract out to a private plans examiner.
That's right.
There are firms out there that I know at various jurisdictions when they get really, really busy during building season, all the building permit applications come in April, is rather than hiring new staff, sometimes what they will do is they will contract out to private plan review firms for a month or two just till they get caught up. So that's an option as well. You know, if you put it into practicality, is once you've done the planning review, once you've approved the planning application, the billing of what it is that was approved through the planning process is basically just perfunctory. It's just making sure that the structure is constructed in a safe manner. So all of the items and the things that the Planning Commission is really concerned about is it an appropriate use of land? You know, are impacts such as traffic going to be mitigated? Does the design fit with something that we want in the pine? Those are decided during the planning process. Once you decide that, then you just build the structure.
Okay. Linda, do you have anything?
So think of the benchmarks when, you know, let's monitor the activity. There's not enough being collected that's going to make it easy for Lapine to staff up right now.
Mm-hmm.
You've got about a year or so before the zoning ordinance is done. And once that is done and starting to go through the approval process, you'll be timed such that the city council will start looking at its budget. And in that budget cycle that will coincide with the completion of the zoning ordinance, that's a wonderful time to sit down and say, okay, where's the economy? Has Deschutes County collected more funds, than what we're seeing today? And because we're going to have our own code, we want to administer our own code, is it time to bring on staff in-house? That's a good benchmark.
In looking at the types of applications that the county reviewed over the past 3 years, and looking at the number per year, not the dollar amount, but the number of applications that were submitted per year, that amount of work to review those applications, as well as other things the planner would do, that's just about the right amount of work for one planner for your community. They could get all those permits out the door, they could work with the public at the front counter on planning issues, but when you look at the dollar amounts that you threw out there, like $35,000, that is definitely not enough to run the department and or provide for a planner to do that amount of work. And we're talking 40 hours, this is definitely 40 hours a week worth of work. So to fully fund that, you would be working back with the council to come up with additional funds if that's something you wanted to take on.
And that would have to be, that would come like out of general fund or something, right?
Yes. Or you raise fees. You raise application fees could be raised as well.
Are the county fees reasonable? Say we were to raise fees to pay for that, would we be really
discouraging
the
planning?
Yeah, and I think Virginia mentioned it, is that it's a tender balance, because if you make it hard to develop in Lapine, people are going to go elsewhere. So you want it balanced for what still encourages people to look at Lapine as a reasonable place. And keep in mind, it's not just developers paying those fees, it's local people doing additions to their buildings, etc. And you don't want to have them have a real difficult time making the fee.
Are we paying the county anything above and beyond what they collect to do that for us? The city?
I know of.
Okay.
Yes, the budget, no.
Okay.
They're taking all the risk and responsibility, and they're doing it now, which gives Lapine time to get on its feet.
Okay. And so we're back basically talking about possibly submitting something for the budget for the 2011-12 year, which would start in July of 2011, right?
Yeah, and you guys should think about that. Might want to bring it up again when you've got a full group there. But to me, I think James and I would both agree that's a good benchmark. Look at things in the meantime, but shoot for that date to make a serious decision.
Okay. Do you have any other questions on that?
I thought it was very interesting to see these. Just to get a picture of what's going on here and what has gone on. So I found it very interesting. So, okay. All right. Now the next meeting, moving on to number nine. The county planning meetings, next one is on the 25th, which is the Deschutes County Comprehensive Plan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We definitely need to, somebody needs to be there from the Planning Commission, right?
I would like it if somebody could be there. You can't have a full quorum, but I think it's good to have somebody there. Let's briefly go over what that meeting's about. Today, the county comprehensive plan has language talking about Lapine before it was incorporated. Well, now Lapine is going to have its own comprehensive plan, its own urban growth boundary, and so the Planning Commission needs to be advised, the County Planning Commission, that those changes are indeed happening, and language in the text needs to be changed, meaning their comprehensive plan for Deschutes County, to reflect what we're doing. So the three things that they're going to have to change in their plan is, one, recognize that City Incorporated has its own comprehensive plan soon and is proposing its own UGB. That's the purpose of that meeting on the 25th, is to make sure that the County Planning Commission goes through the motions to make that work happen.
And they're completely aware of ours? I mean, have they expressed any strong objections about anything?
No.
And will you be making a presentation, or?
Yes, both James and I will be making a presentation.
Okay.
As well as the county staff. And if you go to the county website, there are packets online.
Okay.
So you can take a look at that. And you probably got something in the mail, a couple weeks ago. Big Fisher 56 notice that scared the bejesus out of a few people who called me at 8 o'clock.
They're going to raise our taxes again.
somebody said, well, this is really scary. What does this mean? And so I had to explain to them, state law says, anytime there's anything that could be perceived as a change to your property, we have to do a Measure 56 notice. And it's just, planning stuff.
You wanted to go to that, right? Well, you don't want to go. Okay, I'll go to that.
No, yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah. All right. I will go to that then.
Okay. That's good to know, Gloria, and then we'll make sure to introduce you as well.
Do we have any other meetings coming up that we need to be aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. I think it's good for you guys to discuss how and who is going to be in charge of setting your agendas. James and I took it upon ourselves at the very beginning, and I think you're easing into doing that yourself, but somebody from the Planning Commission should work with staff to do that.
We did that already.
Oh, and Gloria, you've already done that part.
No, we did that last meeting.
Yeah,
that
was the meeting. That was the meeting I missed.
Okay.
Yep, that's it.
Okay, and well, we already discussed number 10.
I do have one thing.
Okay.
Based on, because it has to do with the information that was sent to us, the information we requested, and the emails that Nick sent back.
Yeah,
Nick Lulak sent.
Mm-hmm.
And the comment that they're requesting that agencies submit comments within 10 days to 2 weeks of received notice. He commented on the fact that we may want to have a subcommittee on the Planning Commission so that we can have people reviewing these, then get them back in the 10 days without creating a quorum issue. Also, that in addition, he says, I assume that you, Deborah, or the city legal counsel will work with the Planning Commission on developing and writing its comments. So my concern is, one, who on the Planning Commission has the time to commit? Two, my concern is, if we are having to depend on assistance from you or legal counsel, do we need to get permission from city council to pay for this?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts there. One, I wouldn't lose sleep over this particular issue until we go through a couple of practical examples, a couple of real examples.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to be clear how much work's involved, and people will have an idea whether that's their cup of tea for being on a subcommittee to do that work consistently.
Okay.
My gut feeling is, if you need to, you need to kind of go through the motions first. It's highly unusual to have the city attorney write the comments, so I would take that right off the list. It's very expensive to do that, and very few communities do that. I think it's important to convey to the city council what your comments are when you do make those comments, and that's just a transmittal to them as a normal course. If they're not happy with the work that you're doing, they'll let you know. But it's your job to respond to those applications, and I think we can kind of hold off on this until we go through the first couple of them and you see what the motions are.
Okay, because my concern was that we would do something that wasn't appropriate.
Well, that's why we're going to help you.
Well,
yeah.
We had talked at the last meeting that the Planning Commission, the open dialogue with the council is invaluable. So I think, you know, in this regard, if you have the desire and you want to be and are going to be the review authority for these applications, it's just a quick letter or conveyance to the city council that you have a desire to do that. You want them to authorize you to be the land use commenter, so to speak, for the city. And then you go forward with how you want to do that. Do you want it to be one person? Do you want it to be maybe two of you as an informal subcommittee? And then also we talked about you would have a regular agenda item, which is land use review.
Yep.
So that if, say, two of you out of five, so that you don't have a quorum, are the subcommittee that do the review, that you create those comments and you report back. You're able to get those comments to the county in a timely manner, but you report back to the rest of the Planning Commission what you decided, what your comments were.
So in our case, we are strictly dealing with land use. We would not be seeing building permit applications.
No, I mean, frankly, you would get a big roll up. If it was building permit, they roll up plan blueprints, and you look at it,
no.
And they, we don't want
to. Yeah, I know. But my concern was, for example, when McDonald's came into town, and it was in an existing location, and they were just remodeling, and then there was a public outcry somewhat after the fact because they were concerned about the increase in traffic. Would that be something that we would see prior to, or would it not be something we would see because it's not a land use application?
Well, it is a land use application.
Okay.
That's where I was going to kind of ask you that question, is that when you look at the list of applications that Nick provided, there's a bunch of different, you know, you look at the descriptions of what people applied for, like terms due, tentative plan, lot line consolidation. You're not going to want to look at every single one of those applications. I mean, a lot of these are like a lot line adjustment. Two property owners adjusting the boundary between their properties. It doesn't really lead to any development. It doesn't have any traffic implications, a safety issue typically. You know, it's the conditional use permits. It's the site plan reviews. It's that McDonald's. It wasn't really a change of use. It was the same use.
Right, that's what I was wondering, if it would even have come up on lab use.
It's an alteration?
They did, if you look at it back, they had signs for McDonald's, freestanding signs for McDonald's. I didn't see anything related to, you know, any change of use for McDonald's. It wasn't a change of use. It was a change
right,
of
see, but that's why, that's my question, is that as the Planning Commission, at some point we would be having people come to us and ask us why. Why we didn't comment on something like that, or why we didn't address.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, people don't understand that if you take away the name, it's just a restaurant going into a restaurant. But if you dig a little deeper, if the city did comment, did work with the county traffic engineers to make sure that the transportation study was adequate, and that, you know, things that were required of them were done in a proper way, that's fine. It didn't change the outcome, nor should it.
Right.
But the issue with McDonald's is a perception that it's an attractant to kids, and it sure is. That's a different issue that has to do with how we manage traffic and intersections in the community. It doesn't have a lot to do with the processing of the land use.
Okay.
And so, you know, frankly, I mean, that's why I think when we go back to the training from the last Planning Commission meeting last month, it's taking all of you through, you know, the process, you know, when it comes in, what the criteria are, you know, how do you, what do you use to evaluate the information that the applicant submits, the applicant's going to approve, is that in this case, you know, with McDonald's, you could have told people that it's not a change of use, it's not a new use, it's a different user. And it could have been very well Burger King, it could have been, you know, Carl's Jr., it could have been one of many, many different fast food restaurants, just like the one that was in there. People won't understand it all the time. But, you know, your answer was they did not change the underlying use. It's like when you look in zoning, sort of think about it this way. When you look in a zoning code and you look at a specific commercial zone and it lists the uses that are allowed, it lists restaurant, it lists tavern, it lists office. It doesn't list McDonald's, Burger King, you know, just from a very general, standpoint, because that's all the impacts are deemed to be relatively the same. But if one restaurant is more popular or more marketable, successful than another, see, that's something you really can't account for in a zoning code.
And you can't penalize them for being more
popular.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, in a case like that, where somebody gets word of something and the county's the one, people have a right to appeal to the county, right? Or they have, I mean, there are public hearings on these things or not?
Not usually.
It depends. Sometimes there are public hearings. Sometimes it's just an administrative review by staff. Usually if there's a significant amount of public comment, they get bumped to a hearings officer.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a meeting on this would be really interesting, you know.
Yeah, you're going to have fun going through a real application.
Right.
It's going to be much better.
Yeah, I think. Okay.
Oh, I did want one other thing.
That's good.
I always do.
That's fine.
Okay. My question was, and this was brought up last night, and they said that we should refer to legal counsel, but I'm going to run it by you. And it was that, of course, we are not supposed to comment on something that we may have to make a ruling on. As our current body stands, we are not in that position because we do not do the review. It goes to the county. And, for example, there was a little bit of confusion when they were having the public meeting for Subway, for example. And one of the commissioners got the comment that they were requesting us not to make a comment in public. And, of course, I didn't catch that in the email if it came out. And so I felt it was my responsibility to comment as not as a commissioner at that time, but as an individual. And then afterwards I heard that we weren't supposed to, but what exactly, if we're not made, I understand why the city council wouldn't comment, because they may be making a decision later if it's
Well, it's a delicate dance and a matter of protocol.
Mm-hmm.
You're correct. In the Subway case, the final appeal, if there was an appeal, would have gone to the city council. And that's just the way the rules work right now. So it would have been inappropriate for the city council to render any judgment until the full issue was before them, because they have to act like judges.
Right.
You guys are kind of stuck in the middle. You're a body that's meant to function with land use, but in this case it's not before you. But as a representative of the community and the city, you don't want to be so far out from where the community council, where the city council may go, that you preclude the council from making a full decision on their own. So I'll make it just really gross to make the point. If you were to petition with a picket in front of Subway, no Subway in our town, the story's going to be city planning commissioner totally against Subway.
Mm-hmm.
It won't matter that you're doing it as a person.
Uh-huh.
But it gets misinterpreted, it gets muddy, and that's just one of those careful things you have to do. You have to dance around, you have to pick your fights,
mm-hmm.
and most of the time, because there's a process, if you're not going to have direct involvement, it's best to convey those issues in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to wait for the issue to come to the council, where they take public testimony, or just kind of hold back until we have a chance to review everything on its own. But you got to be really careful in your position, because you're a little of both.
What is the difference? Okay, that was a public meeting, but what is the difference when we write a comment and submit it to the county as a representative from our committee with inquiries as to impact of traffic, for example?
Oh, sure. If you want to write a comment, county on a particular application, and you sign your name as planning commissioner, you have to make sure that is the bulk of where the planning commission is wanting to go. You need to discuss that with the planning commission and have authority to debate that comment. If you're making it as a private citizen, and you just want to submit your comment, you do that, you can, but you take the risk of being always assumed as talking for the planning commission.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make those comments, you know, as a planning commissioner, though, you know, like we talked about a minute ago, those are the formal comments from the city. So it won't be that it's from a planning commissioner or it's from the planning commission. It will be, these are the comments from the city of La Paz.
Mm-hmm.
And now internally, you know, that's where I was saying you have to go back, talk to the council, and say we would like to be the official commenters, get the council authority, and have it set up as to let the council know how you would do that. Again, you know, two people, so you're not a quorum, and then you report back to the rest of the planning commission, and maybe you talk to the rest of the planning commission before you ever issue the formal comments. But again, that's how you keep yourselves out of trouble, and that you ensure that whatever comments go to the county are the comments of the city. Council said that it's okay for you to do that.
My experience, or what I heard, though, I think with both times that I heard you talk like that, you were asking for points of clarification.
Yeah.
You weren't speaking, you were asking questions, and aren't we allowed to do that if we don't understand something?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But would you have to be very careful to say as...
Well,
you know.
And the thing was, is that you had to choose one side or the other.
Yeah, no, I guess that really is.
I just wanted
to information. That's fine.
Make a point.
Yeah.
But if you make a position statement, you better have the entire planning commission behind you and the authority of the city council to make that statement. I think that's what James was getting at.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's like you're putting something in writing that goes into the record.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll go into the county's formal file and record on that application. It comes from Wapai, you just need to, make sure that the council has authorized you to do that.
Okay. But if you preface your comments by, for my own clarification, I would like to know, or is this my understanding, or, then you'd be okay, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. it's just one of those, you'll get, it's funny, you'll get very skilled and adept at knowing what not to say.
And how to say it.
Or knowing how to craft the question. Yeah. So you can get a point across, but it doesn't, it just happens. It's just, you know.
Okay.
Okay, that's all I have.
That answers yours? How about you, Lindsay?
I'm fine. I'm happy.
Okay, I don't have any more questions on that. Do you guys, any one of you have any staff reports or updates? Or
no, just curious if there are any issues that might be coming up for the next Planning Commission meeting that you're aware of now.
Not that I'm aware of. I like I said, I'm looking forward to looking at some actual applications and understanding how that works. So I think that'll be really good. Hopefully, John is expecting to wrap up the job that he's doing within a month. So after that, he said he'll be attending on a regular basis. So he was at the training session last night. So
oh, good.
So he couldn't come back tonight. But he said it'd be anywhere from a week to a month before they finish up, and then he'll be back on board again. So and you knew about Renee resigning.
Okay.
So we're going to be looking for a new planning commissioner. We'll probably. Well, I don't know what will happen between now and the next meeting, so we do have to get somebody. Her position was in the city, so that kind of narrows it down. So we're going to be working
on
that.
Well, the thing that I would like to, when we get to that part, we'll discuss it. Other matters. Right?
We're going to have done other matters, but no.
I thought we were going to bring up. Transportation. We were on
transportation
report.
Committee. Yeah,
are we done with the reports? And
yes,
stuff?
I think so.
I don't have anything.
It's okay. Okay.
Okay.
We'll move on to other matters.
All right. First of all, I would like us to encourage the council to get the applications as soon as possible. Start advertising, and the reason I say that is my term ends at the end of the year, and that would leave us with that's two people that are inside the city limits. If there was a real difficulty, I would consider extending my term on a temporary basis. But I really wasn't intending to serve an extended time. So, I don't know how they would work
that. Okay, I will get that information from the city recorder, and now that we have Renee Clark's actual resignation,
we're going to be busy on it.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking. If we get applicants in, they can keep the applicants and consider the fact that they're going to...
There might be an opening down the road, yeah.
Right. So...
Are you telling us you don't want to be a planning commissioner? Did you?
Aren't you having fun? I am enjoying this, but I have a lot of other obligations too, so.
Oh, okay.
When I drew the short straw, I thought, okay, there must be a meaning behind this. So.
Well, now do the... These positions, do they eventually, they don't go for election, do they?
No,
they're only appointed, so that's something we don't...
But it took a while for us to get this going to begin with.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
And I would hope we have advertisements that advertises for a pool of candidates.
Mm. So that's what they do. They put it in enough.
That's really helpful should there be, somebody has a room for whatever reason, you've got somebody ready to go.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking.
And what about the transportation? We don't have that yet, but we had basically...
Well, we had nominated her to serve on the transportation committee. The truth is, if something changed, I don't know if she would still be interested. She could serve as one of the members because she's in one of the neighborhoods.
Right.
If she chose to apply...
Well, plus the fact that she's a bus driver, and I think that
But she would not be serving as a planning commission.
No, but I think her input would probably be very valuable as far as routes and all different, you know, where she gets the most people and all that kind of stuff. I think she would be, but it wouldn't have to be official, like you said.
Right.
She could be just as an advisor type of thing. But since we don't have technically, and they're kind of, seems like the city council is kind of dragging their feet on it, although...
Well, they have a lot on their
plate.
Yeah,
on the agenda, though, for the 24th.
I was going to say, they told me it was going to be on the 24th agenda, so...
But do we have someone who's interested in serving in addition? Or do we need to consider?
I could do it.
Could you do it?
I could do it.
Okay. Well, I nominate that Linda do it.
Or should we wait till John is back?
That would be a good idea.
We might have...
We have some
real... He's very... He is a pro transportation.
Okay.
Maybe we should postpone it until he's here. And he may say, I really want to serve on this one.
Okay.
So why don't we wait?
Okay, doing it because of the need.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Okay.
He is really interested in the airport and different aspects. So, and I think in that position it might help if someone has a real drive for something like that.
I think so too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's it. That's all I have.
All right. Do you have anything else under other matters?
No.
How about you, Pat? Do you have anything you need to bring to our attention?
Nope, I don't think
so. Well, I make a motion that we adjourn.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I hang up.
They're gone.
Are you out here?
Bye.
Bye. Thank you very much.